Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Well, we're pleased to have, very honored to have one of the top 60 college football quarterbacks since 2000 on our show today.
That is rarefied air.
Joey Harrington.
Are you just making, like, just pulling stats? Is this like one of those analytics things where, like, you're
no.
The 64% of the time, if you shoot a three off the dribble, if it's a two-on-one break, then you are guaranteed to score 5 more points per game over a 48-minute schedule?
No. That's incorrect. No.
You can be Jamal Murray and have a 4-on-1 break and get an ill-advised three.
Oh, well, define ill-advised. So what are we talking about here?
Okay, so we are talking about ESPN ranking the top 60 college football quarterbacks since 2000. And you are on the list.
Ooh.
Do you care to guess what number you are? Now, I'll put it to you this way. A lot of damn good quarterbacks since 2000. I mean, Andy Dalton is like 59th.
He was good at TCU.
He was really good. Yeah. Zach Wilson, this kid for BYU that they have right now, he's 56th. So where do you think you rank?
Well, if Andy, how many guesses do I get?
One.
Oh, I was going to give you three. Yeah, Rob runs a hard bargain.
If anybody knows where, come on, you've seen this list.
Well, it's okay. So where, do I get any hints? Can I ask a couple questions first?
Yeah, you can ask questions. I like this game. Okay. Let's go.
Where is Marcus?
He is ninth.
I like that.
Okay.
Yeah, he made the top 10.
Where is Eric Crouch?
That's another. I like this.
Stand by.
He's narrowing this down.
I don't know if Crouch. Was Crouch?
He won a Heisman Trophy. He has to be on the list.
I'm saying it's only since 2000.
Okay, he won the Heisman. Right. He won the Heisman Trophy in what? That would have been 2000, 2001, something like that.
Okay, he is on the list. We have him.
Rob's really dialed in. He's done his homework.
42nd.
42nd. Okay, so
you compare yourself to Eric Crouch. That's interesting.
Well. He won the high. We were at the Heisman together.
I know.
Right?
I know.
So I'm doing a little bit of okay.
Got you. You're
Kenny
better,
Dorsey.
What?
Where's Kenny Dorsey?
Standby. You're better than Aaron Rodgers. On here.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
Kenny Dorsey, 34.
And Crouch was 42. 42.
You're getting close.
I'm. And you said Dalton was 58?
He's 59th, yeah. Barely made the list.
I'm 56th.
Wow, so close. You are 52nd. Do not sell yourself short, sir.
Well, there you go. That's four good spots.
Yeah, that's pretty good. You're almost top 50.
Not too shabby.
Almost top 50.
You were better than Eric Crouch.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it depends.
No, it doesn't.
It depends. It does, because he technically won the Heisman, right?
Yeah, but I'll tell you what. And I don't know this off the top of my head, but in my mind, when I think of in my lifetime, since I was a, let's go high school on, Eric Crouch might be the worst Heisman Trophy winner that there's been. That was, that's reputation, and he was Nebraska's quarterback, and they got housed. That's you're better than Eric Crouch.
Yeah, screw him. Do you want to know the other guys near you? So there's a couple guys whose names I don't recognize. Some guy from Navy. So I'll leave him out.
Oh, no. It's going to be Navy. Hold on. He just graduated a few years ago.
Give me the first name.
Give me the first name. It's about four or 5 years ago. Maybe.
Well, okay. See, now this is awkward. I don't actually have it pulled up in front of me.
Keenan Reynolds.
Yeah, yes. Good call. I'd never heard of that guy. So
he's good.
Okay, he's right in front of you. Patrick Mahomes behind you, Mason Rudolph directly behind you, and David Carr just in front of you.
Well, it makes total sense because he was picked two places ahead of me. Crouch won the Heisman, so you got to put him ahead of both of us. The only reason is, what threw me off a little bit is Kenny Dorsey, but not really, because he played for that Miami team that won 647 games in a row, and then got beat by Ohio State in the end.
Yeah, I think Dorsey only lost in his career, I think he lost two or three games as a 4-year starter. It's ridiculous, like his record. And you can make the argument
the best team ever.
It's the best team I have. That Nebraska team with not Eric Crouch, but the Nebraska team with Lawrence Phillips and that crew.
Is that Scott Frost?
Yeah, Tommy Frazier. I think the Tommy Frazier version was better, but yes, Frost was the third title on that. But that first one with Tommy Frazier in the Orange Bowl when he was dealing with blood clots, and Lawrence Phillips and Grant Winstrom and Jared Tomich, that or the Miami team that won the year before they lost to Ohio State. Those are the two best college football teams I ever saw with my two eyes. I would have said that USC team, but they lost to Vince Young. So,
But here's the thing. So you make the argument of the USC team losing to Vince Young. That Miami team lost to Craig Krenzel.
Oh, God.
Craig Krenzel.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That was Maurice Claret and Craig Krenzel,
yep,
who beat them in the championship game, which is always the question I get is, well, do you wish you would have, the way that your guys' Fiesta Bowl ended and that season ended, you playing Colorado, sure, you got screwed out of going to the Rose Bowl and Nebraska played that Miami team instead. But, would you have liked to get a chance to play them, considering they were one of the best teams in the history of college football? And I say absolutely yes.
Yeah.
Because if we played them 10 times, would they beat us 7, 8, maybe 9? I don't know. But all it takes is one.
Yeah.
Right. And that's all it took Maurice Claret and Craig Krenzel.
Yeah.
I may disagree with you on that USC elimination.
Yeah, it's weird because the year before Miami roughshod and wins the national title, the year before they should have played for the national title. They were the best team 3 years in a row and by far, and they won one national title. That's how funky these sorts of things are. That wasn't the most talented Miami team that won the national title. It was the one that lost to Ohio State. That was a better team, but they didn't finish it, and the one before did.
I might disagree with you on that, because so many of the starters from that team, the team that lost to Ohio State, mm-hmm, were backups on the team the previous year. So it was Kellen Winslow who was the tight end for the team that lost, but it was Jeremy Shockey the year before,
yep,
right? And it was Willis McGahee who got hurt in that game against Ohio State, but the year before he was backing up Clinton Portis.
Yep.
And the only reason either of those guys were playing is because Frank Gore got hurt in training camp.
It's so absurd.
I don't know. I think that the year they actually did win the national championship was their most talented year. I don't know if people were just paying attention to them, but how you kind of get on a bit of a roll and,
sure,
and kind of the myth builds the longer you go. I think that team that won it when Ken Dorsey was a junior and Clinton Portis was the tailback, I think that was probably the best, because that was Andre Johnson.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That was Andre Johnson's year.
If you go back and look at just that run, that 3 year, because the year before, remember, they got screwed and they had to go play Florida because the way it worked, the computer put them at third. you know,
right? Because they lost to Washington. Lost to Washington. In the year. That was that was too easier.
And they had beaten like the number one, number three, and number five team, and yet somehow they still ended up third, didn't get to play for a national title. But if you go back to that 3-year run, that was like Jonathan Vilma, Andre Johnson, Clinton Portis, McGahee, Frank Gore, Bryant McKinney, Ken Dorsey, Jonathan Vilma, Sean Taylor. It's unbelievable. It's ridiculous. Well,
The unbelievable part is that team that we're talking about, the middle year, right?
Yeah.
So the safety let's just talk about defense. It was Ed Reed at safety who was backed up by Sean Taylor. It was Philip Buchanan who was backed up at corner by Antrell Roll. It was Mike Rumpf who was backed up by I'm drawing a blank now. It was Jonathan Vilma who was backed up by DJ Williams.
Yeah.
It was Jerome McDougal who was backed up by Vince Wilfork at defensive tackle. You mentioned Bryant McKinney. Bryant McKinney that year was backed up by Vernon Carey, who ended up starting at left tackle for the Dolphins. Yeah. The quarterback, Kenny Dorsey, was backed up by Brock Berlin. Yeah. Like this was, I mean, and we'd already talked about running backs. It was Clinton Portis who was backed up by Willis McGahee, who was backed up by Jarrett Payton, who, by the way, only was playing because Frank Gore got hurt. That was the deepest team in college.
You know your Miami football.
It's the greatest collection in like I said, it's the greatest collection of talent in my lifetime.
The greatest cheaters ever.
Yeah. I mean, it's as good as Alabama, you know, was or is, I still don't know if Alabama has had a crew quite like that. Although, you know, they've put a lot of guys into the league.
They've just been so, I mean, because the rise of Miami prior to that, from where they were to the fall off after, was it Larry Coker left? I don't know. Alabama has been significantly more consistent, but that I would agree with you. That amount of talent in one place in a short amount of time has got to go with Miami.
Who is the best college quarterback you ever saw?
Oh, besides me, mean, right?
Yeah, besides 52.
Yeah,
besides 52.
Right.
The best college quarterback.
Because number one, I'll tell you right now, number one on this list is Baker Mayfield. But what? it's a
stat thing.
Well, I mean, he did it over a long. See, you got Cam Newton, but it was basically 1 year. But he won a title.
Mine's Vince.
Vince Young's in the top five. You know, you've got Tebow.
You know what? Honestly, I'm so tired of Tebow.
Ooh,
I mean, what he did was great, but. I don't know. I think so much of it is just kind of blown out of proportion by the giant, like over the top fan club that he has.
Thank you.
But it's become just it's too much for me. I not played against, but just watched.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
I'd say it's Matt Leinart.
Oh, Leinart, 17th on the list, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
He was
the best for the longest period of time. And like we talked, yeah, I mean, sure. I mean, the talent around him was unbelievable, but the guy never had an off day.
Yeah.
I mean, it was fluid. And like we've talked about, I'm not saying that he was the best NFL quarterback, and oftentimes college success doesn't translate and vice versa. It's, you know, why I'm so, you know, so better than Patrick Mahomes, right? In college, apparently. But I think he's doing okay in the NFL. Those don't translate. But it's Leinart for me.
And if Pete hands the ball off to Reggie Bush, then he's got three national championships. Just saying.
Pete. Hey, that's a good transition. We're going to get to Pete in our next segment. Let's take a break. We are with the 52nd greatest college football quarterback since the year 2000, Joey Harrington. Better than Aaron Rodgers, better than Patrick Mahomes. Who can say that?
Well, he can.
Joey. Joey can say that.
He can say it.
So when we get back, who does he side with? Dangerous or Sneaky Pete? We'll be right back on The Fan. All right, Joey Harrington back with us, and let's talk some Seahawks. We've got a little rift between the organization and the quarterback, Russell Wilson. I was making the case yesterday. I am surprised at some of the ire that is being directed at Russell Wilson. He has been sensational, and they have not given him great offensive lines. They have not drafted all that well in the last 3-4 years. And, you know, Pete Carroll is like Teflon up there. Which side are you on if you had to pick a side in this battle here?
I'm always going to be on the player side, always, because people don't look at the other side of the coin when they're having this discussion, right? Nobody ever seems to realize that at any point a team can say, no, thanks, I'm done. Oh, you're under contract? It doesn't matter. I'm still going to get rid of you and not pay you another dime. So for that reason alone, whenever there is a quarterback, but a player who speaks out and says, I would like to change my situation, they're immediately vilified as they're not a team player, or they're a cancer in the locker room, or just shut up and play, or, you know, we're paying you this much money, you know, you better be here. I'm sorry. It works both ways. If a team is going to say that we'll sign you to a massive contract that's supposed to last 6 years, and after 2 years, I'm just going to get rid of you because I want to and not pay you anything, then there has to be some sort of reciprocity on the other end when the player is holding up his end of the bargain, but the team isn't. So if I'm Russell Wilson and I have literally been carrying this team, and look, I'm not, you know, I'll be honest here, you know, 3-4 years ago, I was not a Russell Wilson. I wasn't on the bandwagon. I didn't think that I thought he was a very good quarterback, you know, but I would have put him somewhere, you know, 8 to 10 in terms of, you know, top quarterbacks in the league. He is absolutely one of the top three quarterbacks, you know, maybe four, you know, you can make an argument for, but, and he has been carrying that team for the better part of 3 years now. They have not, the team has not done their job in putting the right pieces around him. So absolutely, if I'm Russell Wilson, I'm going to vocalize that because I'm there for a short time, right? My window, Russell Wilson could get hurt next year and his window is done, right? Alex Smith type injury and all of a sudden you're done. And so if I'm in the prime of my career and the team is not living up to their end of the bargain, heck yeah, I'm speaking out and I'm trying to either change that situation from the inside out or I want out of there.
And look at, we looked at this yesterday, but, you know, Russell Wilson was drafted in what, 2012. And since he's been in Seattle now, these last 8 going on 9 years, he's had one Pro Bowl offensive lineman and that was Max Unger. And he had him for 2 years and then they shipped him out of town. One. So, you know, I would be interested to know, and again, just thinking off the top of my head, other elite quarterbacks, I know not everyone plays behind the greatest offensive line, but I think you'd be hard pressed to find another top 3 or 4 quarterback in the league that didn't play behind it at least one or two Pro Bowl offensive linemen. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, you know, complains, and Aaron Rodgers has played with, and I know he's been there a lot longer, but I mean, shoot, he had 3 Pro Bowlers just this year alone on his offensive line.
Right. You know, for so long, Seattle was focused on defense, right? And that was enough. That was enough because you had a quarterback on a small contract, on a rookie deal, and they stacked that defense. And that's where they spent their money, and that's where they developed, and they were able to win that way. Now you got to pay the guy. And you need to find a way to put those pieces around him in the same way that other teams do, right? I mean, I would agree with you that, you know, I was trying to think. Drew, we had a couple Pro Bowl offensive linemen in front of Drew Brees in New Orleans. You know, like you're right, Aaron Rodgers has a few. I mean, there are very few quarterbacks in the league who seem to be on the run as much as Russell does.
Yeah, and it's funny because it feels like, you know, whether it's Brady or Brees or Rodgers, I mean, you kind of get the benefit of the doubt, but sure seems like a lot of people up in Seattle, everything from, you know, the front office to fans to media, sure seems like a lot of people like to take pot shots at that guy. And it's odd because he is, you know, he is a legitimate superstar. And I don't know why they haven't embraced him up in Seattle the way that other markets have with their quarterback.
I don't have an answer for that. I wouldn't say it's 100% spot on, but I would say that there's definitely some validity to that. You know, by no means is he revered like Drew is in New Orleans. And now, granted, Drew's won Super Bowl, and yeah, Drew's going to be, you know, a shoe-in Hall of Famer, and he came in at a time when, you know, that city needed somebody. But I mean, you go around the league, Aaron, and maybe I'm talking myself into an answer here. Here's the answer that I'm coming up with right now, because for so long it seemed like it was the defense that was leading that team, right?
Yeah.
And he was he was 1B, right? Defense is 1A, he's 1B. And now that it's become his show, they haven't had the type of success. Now, they've been playoff bound just about every year, you know, and he's played at an MVP-type level. But they haven't had the type of team success. And those are the things that truly endear you as a quarterback to a city. You know, that's what solidified it for Rodgers. That's what solidified it for Breeze. So maybe that's it. Maybe the fact that the front office hasn't put the right guys around him to get him over the hump. Maybe, maybe we're sitting here and looking at a guy who is, I won't call him a stat guy, but everybody knows those players who are able to put up incredible numbers, but aren't able to, let's say, will their team over the top.
Man.
Right. There are some guys who truly just have that, you know, that leadership ability to make people around them better. And without being in the locker room, I don't know. I mean, maybe Russell isn't that guy.
Maybe, but I tell you what, man, he's already got him a Super Bowl and he should have had the second one. The second one's on the coaching staff, you know, and put any other elite quarterback in that situation, they are not taking this kind of heat. I think it's bizarre that they've flamed out in the playoffs three of the last 4 years, basically. And
well, I agree with you. I'm just trying to think of some kind of rationalization.
Yeah, that's not Russell Wilson's fault. I don't know. I just feel like in other scenarios, it's almost always the coaching staff that gets blamed, and not the franchise quarterback. Almost doesn't take enough blame, it seems like, because, you know, franchises typically are just happy to have a guy so good. Russell, it's the other way around. I guess the next question I would ask is this. That is a fine line, though, you're walking when you're John Schneider and Pete Carroll. What kind of control should a franchise quarterback get over offense and over personnel and or over personnel? Because he wants more, and you know, I think he should get a lot of slack on the rope, but that's a delicate dance there. You know,
it is, because the G at a certain point, you have to trust people to do their jobs, right? You know, it's not Russell's job to evaluate talent.
Yes, exactly.
And determine who they should draft. And he's got other, you know, he's watching film on defenses. He's watching film on, you know, how to improve his mechanics. He's not watching film on, you know, Jalen Waddle, or he's not watching film on, you know, whoever they're trying to scout. So at a certain point, you have to leave that to the people who do their job. However, if I'm a GM and my quarterback is saying, look, I need some help. I need some help on the outside. I need some help up front. I would like to be able to do this with my offense. I think that has to be listened to. But I think there's a fine line between having some room to voice your opinion and, I don't want to say taking over the team, but at a certain point, like, you got to do your job. Right. Organizations win championships because everybody does their job. And when you are constantly looking, I mean, that is the first thing. Like, if you're trying to coach a team, right? And I'm going to take this back to, you know, fourth grade basketball. I'm teaching these guys to do their job, right? Your job is to pass and cut. And once you get through, that screen can come and free up the shooter, right? But if you don't cut, or if you don't think that screener is going to get over there and you go and do his job, now it throws everybody else out of whack. And everybody's looking over the shoulder like, is he going to do his job? Should I cover for him? Is he going to do his job? Should I cover my own back, right? That's the situation that it potentially creates, is everybody's looking over their shoulder saying, is somebody going to do his job, and do I need to cover my butt lest I lose my job?
Yeah, it's... And if it's like a head coach, I was trying to think, it's like a head coach that wants to be a GM, right? Outside of the hoodie, it hasn't worked, right? There's too much going on. I don't think roster building in the NFL gets enough credit. In a salary cap league where there's only so much to go around and you have to fill a team with as many quality players as you can. And even if you draft well and you develop them in 3 or 4 years, in the case of quarterback 5, then they all start to have to get paid. I just think that is outside of quarterback. I understand, because we give quarterback the hardest job in football. I think constructing a roster, that if that's not as hard as playing quarterback, it's real damn close. And so I'm with you where there's asking even a head coach or a quarterback or anyone to take on that role outside of that's your only job, I think is a monumental task.
I completely agree. But I think that a quarterback, especially like Russell Wilson, and frankly, the bar has been set by guys like Brady. Yeah. Right? That bar has been set. You know, and especially to see the success that he had in leaving New England, partly because he wanted to have more control. And Bruce Arians essentially just saying with open arms, yeah, it's your show. You know, it has been shown to work in that situation. So I think there's an expectation by a lot of quarterbacks that's going to be the norm now. But I would say that's still going to be the exception rather than the rule.
The great Joey Harrington, 5:30 on Fridays here on The Fan, brought to you by BMW Portland. Congratulations on number 52.
Well, number happy 52 on paper, but number one in your heart.
That's right.
Never forget that.
That's right.
I believe I'm coming in at the 202nd best center since the year 2000. So, you know.
Pretty good.
Yeah, hey, I feel pretty solid,
you know,
about it.
There, you are still one of the 201 best centers in the in this entire world. Think about that.
No one can take that from you.
No one can.
Absolutely.
Except for me, who will make fun of you about
it. Yes, and my back reminds me every day about how stupid it was.
All right, you have a great weekend.
You as well. It's always great to talk to you guys.
We'll talk to you next week. Thanks, Joey.
See you guys.
Joey Harrington brought to you by BMW Portland, where relationships matter. Visit BMW Portland on Southwest Jefferson downtown or bmwportland.com. Coming up next in the club, what is the single best age? This is The Fan.